Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, we're back, we're black, we're mad, we're gonna talk
pissed
about
off
it. Yes, but we're also brown ambition welcome
yes. Back y'all. Hey, special shout out to Brown Ambition listener Yolanda Yo-Yo, who's from, where did she say, Harlem or the Bronx, I forget, but I ran into her this weekend. Was African American Heritage Day in Westchester County, where I live, and she was working
Westchester.
And yeah, she was helping her friend out at her booth. Her friend has like a, I forget the name now. I am so sorry to her friend. Her friend's name is Tiffany, but she was like, I know you. And then there's like the, in a good way, or like, did I know, step on your foot at the grocery store last week kind of way or something. But she says that, and when she said, I watch your podcast, I was like, you watch it? And she's a YouTube subscriber. Ooh. So yeah, she's like, I like to watch, my friends like to listen, but I love that you guys are on YouTube. So that's a good reminder too, that you can find us and see our faces.
You want to see Mandy's curls steadily popping and my skin glowing, you know you do. Head on over to, just type in Brown Ambition in the search bar, and you'll find us. I feel like that's gonna be the last little gig we have for a little while. Y'all know we gotta talk about it.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid it. Yeah, it's well, I guess the question is, like, how did you feel when you got the news Friday morning that we are going to undo 50 years of president?
You know, like when I used to get spanked as a kid, which was all the time, because wild. If I knew I was getting a spanking, you know how you brace yourself? You're like, okay, right? And that's how it kind of felt, that, like, you know, as soon as I saw Roe versus Wade, I knew, and I kind of like braced myself for the impact, but it doesn't actually help, you know, just like when I was getting a spanking as a kid, that doesn't actually help.
You mean like when the opinion leaked before?
Yeah.
So we had like this warning time.
That warning is almost like, you know, the teacher tells you, like, so I'm telling your parents, your dad, that you were acting up today. You're like, oh gosh, I'm pretty sure this is not going to end well. And then you finally come home and you brace yourself. But as soon as the headline came up, I had not even fully read the headline, but I knew already. And it was just like, it just was this punch in the gut. But then instantly, I feel like now especially, I do this thing where it's like, it's too much. So, you know, I put up like this like wall because it's too much, which, I mean, my therapist would say it's not good because you're supposed to feel things, but it's like, it's too much to feel. And so, yeah, it's too much. Honestly, it's all too much.
It's too much in all directions.
Yeah.
It's so hard to just be a human and go through your day and stay positive and put one foot in front of the other. It's too much. Like, on top of having our own personal, everyone has their own personal challenges. And it's hard enough to deal with that. But then you put on top of it these outside forces. It's so much. But I think, I mean, isn't it, everyone has their own way of like coping with things. I don't feel like there's a wrong way to do it. I've just felt like an open wound all weekend. Like, you know, that feeling where you're just like emotionally raw?
Yeah.
And anything will start me off. Like, even the movies, like I started to watch, one of my favorite comfort movies is like Hope Floats. So dumb.
Okay. Oh, I love that. Yes, I love
that. Sandra Bullock.
Who doesn't love Sandy?
Fun fact, Forrest Whitaker. Forrest Whitaker directed that movie. Did you know that?
No, really? I did not know that.
Oh, man. That's how you know I was raised by a white woman.
I love that. Meanwhile, movie. I was raised by two Africans, and I'm like, girl, I loved it.
I know. It's universal, fine. But I wanted to watch that and feel better. So I pay my little $3.99 on Amazon Prime to watch that movie. Everything made me cry. Like, it was just some things were sad. I started thinking about whatever, but just like an open wound. And I think I had just come out of therapy that morning. And I go to the park, I do my little therapy call, and then I was just scrolling through my phone. And I was already kind of like emotional from that. But when I got the news, it just overcame with like deep, deep sadness and fear. And I immediately felt like talking. So I didn't like necessarily post right away. I ended up just like recording a video on my phone just with my thoughts. And I mean, the anger was there, but it was like the fear and the rage and the inner need to do something, you know? And what I'm grateful for is that I feel like I did have those couple, how long has it been since the opinion leaked? I've had a couple of months how long? Yeah.
A few weeks like, or so. Mm-hmm.
Think about my feelings about the bigger picture. And immediately what I wanted to talk about was how, when I was talking just to my phone at that point, I realized like, I want to speak to Black and brown women first and foremost, you know, that's my heart. That's what we're here to do. And I wanted the message to be clear that this action, like reversing Roe v. Wade, it's an assault on all women's rights and honestly on everyone's rights, because it's not just a women's issue and people who have uteruses. It's not just our issue. It's men as well. But I wanted to specifically speak to Black and brown women because we are the ones who are going to be disproportionately impacted by this lack of fundamental health care. You know what I mean? And it wasn't even that long ago, but sometimes I think about my younger self, and I'll never forget the day when I found out I was pregnant, and I was 26 going on 27, and the world dropped from underneath me. But I was so lucky to have the option to choose a different path for myself. And I haven't really talked about it on Brown Ambition. I mean, it doesn't really come up that often. But I've mentioned it on social media. And honestly, I feel very much about my story, how I feel about everyone's story is our stories. And no one has the right to, I didn't even want to tell people necessarily, because the decision's so deeply personal. Until you have been in that position to make that kind of decision, it's in that moment when I was 26, 27, when I was making that decision with my partner at the time, who's now my husband, like I remember feeling, why tell anyone? Literally, it's no one's choice but my own, but ours. You know what I mean? And I didn't even think it'd be a possibility that there'd come a time when a woman wouldn't be able to make the same choice that I did. And what would my life look like if I had not been able to get the care that I needed in that moment? I would not be sitting where I am today. I would not have this business that I have now. My life would have been blown up, you know? And I still would have been one of the lucky ones. I would have been quote unquote fine. But there are women who found out Friday morning, who went there to make the same choice I did just how many years ago? 8 years ago. And they couldn't make that choice. They were turned away. And that fucking breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. And so when I hopped on to start talking about it and I posted it finally, you know, I realized in that moment, it's actually, I'm glad that I spoke out and just, you know, reminded everyone that like the impact it's going to have in Black and brown women, but also reminded my followers, like, who the fuck who you're following.
Yes.
Who I am. Because some people, I realized when I posted that, had another idea about who Mandy Money is.
And she's Southern. That's a Southern lady right there.
I don't know who the fuck I don't know how they found my page. But you know what? I was just talking to my Mandy Money makers about authenticity on social media. And sharing your stories so that you're sharing your stories in a way to bring people to you who need to find you.
Yes.
But also sharing it to tell the people who need to lose you where the exit door is. You know what I mean? And it was interesting to me to have that moment and also feel like, okay, maybe I should do this like once a year. Just remind people where I stand, like a healthy, you know, they like burn forests down to like have the next trees come in stronger. Mm-hmm. I feel like as social media influencers or any like public figure or anyone in general, just remind people who you are consistently so that the people who can find you can find you.
A cleansing of sorts.
A cleanse, yes. A cleanse of sorts. Anyway, it's been very raw, and I don't know, Tiff, I feel like usually there's this feeling of speechlessness and like, well, there's not much we can do, but I know exactly what we can do. So I want to talk about that. Like, first and foremost, I think, one, obviously donating to causes, donating to organizations that are helping women who now can no longer get the healthcare they need, find alternative options in other states. So if you can donate to Planned Parenthood, mm-hmm. I've also seen people starting funds to cover travel expenses for women and people with uteruses who have to travel far, you know, to get the care they need. And midterm elections are coming up, y'all. Mm-hmm. November is coming. And we mentioned that before, but I want to remind y'all, in some states, they make sure you have to register far, far, far in advance. So if you're not registered right now, register. Go to vote.org, vote.gov, register to vote. And my husband and I, we sat down and we talked about like which causes, which political candidates we want to donate to.
Okay.
And living in a state like New York, where things are pretty progressive already, and I'm so grateful that immediately the governor and the mayor both said, abortion will stay legal here. Okay. But there are states where they're much more on the fringe. Yeah. And in those states where there's campaigns where there's a possibility of shift in power, you know, of people who don't believe in a woman's right to choose could be taking over, I think it's important to donate to those campaigns. Those are two, I think, meaningful things to do. And then thirdly, get more financial empowerment for Black and Brown women. Like, we have to, the more power we have, financial power, power as leaders, influence, this won't happen. Like, we can save ourselves, but we have to keep fighting. We have to keep wanting more for ourselves, reaching for the financial gains, reaching for seats at the table. And when we get there, making room for more of us to get to the table, that's when we're going to see real change. I think we're just living in this diseased world where we have been held back for so, so long. And until we get to a position of power, more of us, this is going to keep happening. And that's petrifying, but it also gives me hope. Because I can, like, through Brown Ambition, through the work that we're doing, I see it every day, Black women reaching for that. Black and Brown women reaching for that empowerment, feeling empowered. We just need more, more, more.
There's like a real shift, you know? I think in times like this, that's the only thing that, I guess if there is a glimmer of hope, is that those who thought that voting for Voldemort wouldn't be so bad, those women who were like, oh, he can't get into but so much trouble. And now here we are. I read an article, was it CNN? I believe it was CNN, where, you know, the Voldemort, our former president, he, you know, he's been a little coy, which is not like him, not wanting to claim full credit, saying it's not just me. I'm like, that seems odd, because behind the scenes, here's the thing about Voldemort. He's, as much as he is an idiot, he's not dumb. He recognizes that suburban women are what put him over the edge to become president. And he recognizes that this is a direct attack on those very same women, for those who, you know, are open enough to realize that women, it's like, sure, we don't mind this, we don't mind that, we don't, wait, what? And so he recognizes that this is way further than where a lot of folks, this is like, okay, now here's where I draw the line. You know, and know this, that those who sit on the bench, are currently looking for more. Like Clarence Thomas had said, like, okay, now that we've done this, they're looking at gay rights, they're looking at contraception, birth control. And so
interracial marriage.
Well, I thought that was just a joke, but you never know. Honestly,
like, these things. No, it could be anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are the very same justices that it was three of them that when they were being, you know, because you have to be grilled before you're appointed, that three of them stated that, like, no, I believe that that Roe versus Wade is settled, meaning I'm not going to do anything about it. Obviously, that was a lie. And so if there is anything that I have seen, is that when something swings to the extremes, it's met with extremes. Meaning that this is such a far swing to the right that there are people who might not normally go up against the right that are going to be like, okay, you know, this is too much. And I mean, I don't believe in extremes anyway. I don't like fostering to the left either. I believe that there has to be something in the middle, something in the center where everyone doesn't get everything they want, but everyone doesn't get anything that they don't want. So yeah, it's just, it's a lot. I don't, honestly, I mean, I try to look back in history and I think to myself, you know, there was the Black Plague and there were these other things that happened. And I'm like, it just seems like so much. I don't remember being like so crazy. But I guess it's because I'm an adult, you know, I get to live it through an adult lens, but it just seems like the last few years have been so heavy.
They have. And I mean, I think there's definitely opportunities for self-care. I feel like, you know, something you mentioned is so important. The white suburban women who voted Trump into office, I'm sorry, he who must not be named, into office in 2016, that it's important that, yes, this very much impacts them as well. And when I'm saying that this impacts Black and brown women disproportionately, what I mean is by that is not that we're more likely to want an abortion, but that we are more likely to not have the financial means to get it when it's in a different freaking state. And potentially, I don't know, who knows in 10, how long it could take and who takes over, you know, in our states. Now that it's at the state level that's deciding whether or not a woman and people who have uteruses have the right to choose, you know, who are elected officials in these states going to be down the line? Could there be a time when the whole country looks very different than what it is? Right now, I think it's about half the country does and half the country doesn't allow it. But that and then the reason it's so important to have that financial empowerment is because when you have that financial empowerment, you can make choices. You know, you can go other places where they do welcome the decisions that you make. We don't get to make those choices. We don't get to have those options when we're not financially empowered. It's not as easy. You know, waiting for someone to help you get there is fine. And that's those options are maybe out there. But when we can make our own choices, that is what real empowerment is. And for white suburban moms, white women in general, they, and I know that there's plenty who have struggled and all of that. And believe me, you're all over my page being like, I struggle too. And I've been, you know, I grew up poor, blah, blah, blah. Great. That's good. And the majority of you don't. Okay. Majority of Black and white, Black and brown women, very different circumstances. And that's why it's important that we talk to them specifically and center them and everything that we do, center those voices, center those stories. Because if we can make sure that Black and brown women succeed financially to the point where they can make their own choices, then believe me, everyone, you're going to be fine. Like us being more empowered financially does not, you know, does not threaten you in any way, shape, or form. You know what I mean? And those women, I feel like it's an opportunity for them. Will you stand with us now? And will you stand for not just your rights, but everyone's, you know, people who don't look like you as well? We'll see how things shake out. I'm very, very concerned about November. I'll tell you that right damn now. So much is riding on who we elect in our at our state level. And people pay so much attention to the presidential election. And I don't think far enough to the state level, you know, elections. Like, pay attention, y'all. Wake up. Pay attention. Vote. Support candidates who stand for things that you care about. Every election counts. I mean, it's freaking scary. I know it's a lot, but it's like we can't turn away from that fear and that stress, I don't think, in this moment. I don't think this is a moment to put our heads in the sand and pretend like it's not happening. We got to go there. We got to have uncomfortable conversations.
No, like, so I'm actually like in upstate New York. I saw one of my friends that said she was in the Catskills. I was like, why don't I go to upstate New York just to like, you know, because y'all know I live in Newark and it's about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minute drive, but it's like, it might as well be in another country for how different it is. Yeah. It's so slow, but so beautiful. I sent Mandra some pictures. It's so pretty.
She did. You out there by yourself? There's some nice pictures there. You got a tripod?
No, I just, you know, you put on the timer and you put it against a rock. That's what the nature's tripod.
Gorgeous. Yes.
You get the waterfall. The picture taken. It's so
pretty.
Got
your toes in the stream.
I know. And but when I was out here like walking and just like, you know, just thinking about what I wanted and who I am, one of the things that came to me, I was like, you know, one of my core values is safety and security. Because how could it not be as a Black woman? And because I thought to myself, you know, as I was thinking about what are some of my financial goals, but I really wanted to know, well, why is that your goal, Tiffany? It's not just for the money's sake, and it's for what we're talking about now. I want to have enough that, you know, barring anything super crazy, that I can handle it. Because I know no one's coming for me. I know no one's going to save me, that it's going to be on me to financially save myself and like oftentimes save my sisters, you know? And by sisters, I mean friends, I mean family, you know? And so to Mandra's point, that's why we do what we do, right? Certainly we're sharing this difficult topic, but we talk here about your economic empowerment because, you know, if you have enough to take care of yourself and your family, to provide safety and security for yourself. Also too, money talks at the end of the day, you know, that's what politics and all that, it really comes down to who has the money to make the decisions. And so I'm committed. Yeah. I'm committed to like my economic growth, but also to yours, you know, that's why we're here. You know, it's for us, it's not just money for money's sake. It allows you to have choices when you have access to money, you know, at least in the US of A. You know, other places might be different, but here, you know, you are offered a wider range of choices, you know, when you have money.
Yeah, hell yeah. And there's something that you said. You said it like, I don't remember. I don't know. I feel like you say it every once in a while, but the what happens when a woman is financially empowered, and that it's not just about a woman helping herself, but women spread our influence and our power to others, help lift up families and communities and small local economies. I mean, I think like even just yesterday at that African-American Heritage Day, the booths were just black women entrepreneurs, black women reaching for more. I wanted to stop and talk to every single one of them and just listen to their stories. And so many women who started businesses during the pandemic and made a way for themselves, you know, it's powerful stuff. And they are, and they're all in these businesses that are seeking to provide services to help, you know, whether it's creating, you know, natural body oils to help us take better care of ourselves, or creating bookstores, you know, that allow me to purchase books for my son where there's characters that are from all diverse backgrounds and have such unique stories. Like, I think that's the powerful things we need to like focus on, is what incredible things can happen when black and brown women, when we are financially winning, and what choices can we make that benefit everyone else. And it's such a great message to remind folks, because it's like, you know, some women get uncomfortable wanting money because it feels like, oh, greedy and, you know, meaningless and all of that. But bring it back down to what can you do with that, with that power? And what would you do if you had the opportunity? I had these women over, like women in my neighborhood, for a cocktail hour a few weeks ago, when I got COVID. And I remember they were like complaining about Jeff Bezos going to the moon and spending billions of dollars. And I'm like, what would you do if you were a billionaire? Let's focus on us becoming billionaires, because they're going to ride their giant dicks to the moon, and that's fine. But like, what are we going to do with the money? Maybe we'll open free childcare, you know, institutions. Maybe we would, but let's focus on what we could do. Let's get the billions. You know what I mean? Then it won't matter what Bezos is doing.
So I'll tell you what I would do. A close family member has a child with sickle cell. And if you're not familiar, sickle cell is a blood disorder that, you know, normally blood cells, red blood cells, are the shape of a circle and they flow freely through your veins. But when you have sickle cell, it's in the shape of a sickle because there's not enough oxygen, I guess, getting to the cell. So it almost like collapses. So it's like the shape of almost like a C, a sickle. But as a result, those cells will collect in areas of your body and cause extreme pain. So like think knees, elbows. And it is such a terrible, terrible disease. So much so that if you are African American and you're marrying somebody who's African American, you know, it's almost guaranteed that they're going to ask both of you to be tested. Because if, you know, both of you, like I carry the trait for a sickle cell, Jarrell did not. And we talked about it, that if he carried the trait, you know, would we even try to have children? Yeah, it's a terrible disease that the life expectancy is not great for folks with sickle cell. And my family member was sharing, you know, that there's next to no research, despite that it is one of the number one killers of children, African-American children. There's nearly no research, that almost no new medicines have come out in the last 30 years. And why do you think that is? Despite this being one of the biggest killers of children. Why? Because the biggest killers of black and brown children. So there's no research. But what would you do? And I thought about that, you know, and I said, you know, as I grow my wealth, one of the things I'm setting aside, we talked last week about trust and wills. One of the things I'm doing is setting aside money in my trust for sickle cell research. Because if Black and brown people with wealth don't do it, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. And we have way more power than you think. There was an article that came out, Forbes, CNN, all the financial places, like, I want to say 5 years or so ago, that the fastest growing demographic of entrepreneurs were Black women. And then this other article, especially if you imagine with your book coming out by The Atlantic, which is super exciting. It says the most likely person to read a book, a college educated Black woman. And I thought that was so exciting. It's like Pew Research has stumbled upon an interesting data point that the most likely person to read a book in any format is a Black woman who's been to college. So when they try to tell you, so while you're, as you're doing your book proposal, Mandy, don't let them try to tell you, well, it's you like, better no, send no, no, I'm sorry, sis. Now. Yes, I will. It's like, no, sorry, sis. Actually, my book, literally by nature of you being a Black woman, writing for Black women, like that is the perfect audience because we're we're reading more than anyone else. And so I just share all that to say that we have way more power and economic power than we give ourselves credit for, but we have to turn it inward and toward our community so we can, because we are going to be the super heroes that we're looking for. You know, we have to link together like the Avengers and say like, okay, you have wealth, you have knowledge, you have this, you have a microphone, you have the, you know, and because that's really the only way you're going to see things change, because no one's going to care more about you and your babies and the kids and the mamas and the daddies. No one's going to care more than you.
Yeah. One of the last booths I stopped by yesterday at that fair was the Women's Black Political Caucus of Westchester, and took their flyer and I said, you're going to hear from me, you know, at that local level. There are Black women, we're just amazing. And we are working in the trenches every day. I don't want to make it seem like we're not already out there being, I mean, come on now. How many elections have we saved for this country?
Girl.
We would, you know, yes, we're struggling right now, but Biden wouldn't be there if not for the power of the Black women vote. You know what I mean? Now imagine if we had the money to back that vote. Imagine if it was the black women were as powerful as the NRA, you know, big oil. Like, imagine the influence we could have. But yeah, absolutely, at that local level too, you know, where are the women doing the work today, and how can we amplify and lift them up and support them? Volunteer, donate, all of that. And then we have to like kind of focus on it from all sides, and then make our own financial bag, secure the bag for ourselves. Mm-hmm. I believe that Black women are the largest untapped resource is in this country. My God, like,
yeah,
aren't we the most educated as well?
Actually, it's the Nigerians, but you know, no, for real, it's Nigerians, which is crazy to me. Well, actually, it's not crazy because I know Nigerian parents are crazy. No, I just honestly, I like it feels me. I'm trying not to lean into the fear and the hopelessness, and really trying to lean into the hopefulness, because I am grateful to be Black. I'm grateful to be a woman, and I know that we have way more power than I think people even give us credit for. Sometimes we even give ourselves credit for, and that, you know, as long as we are here, you know, there is a light. Oh, see, we started off like, now, see?
Because thank God for the show, Tiff. Thank God for the work that we're doing, because we get to be a part of that change. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was so happy knowing I got to come here and talk about this, as I am every week. But never more at a time than I feel like when there's targets on our backs, you know, as a people.
I'm so glad that we have this safe space where we can vent, but we can also figure out what we can do, and we can woosah, we can still laugh, and yeah, it's just, I hope that you guys find that here too. And if you know other Black women and brown women, even the Jamals, remember Jamal, or was it Jerome? Jamal? Yeah, right. Even the Jamals, this is a safe space for you too. If you know anybody who needs to be here, send them on over to brownambitionpodcast.com.
Everybody should listen to our show, but never get it twisted who we are here speaking to first and foremost, and from whose perspective we speak from. That's all it is. I think everyone would love our show and should come, but I just don't want anyone to, let's just remind them it's called Brown Ambition, okay? For a reason. All right. That is who we are here to center in everything that we do. Well, should we take a quick woosah break and come right back? All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
And now it's time to boost up, break up, boost up, break up, boost. Break. I feel like lately we've been doing a lot of boosts because, you know, it's been a lot of, you know, shit show a tree going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to continue the boost.
Oh, thank goodness. I was afraid you were going to be like, and no, I'm gonna, done with that.
Oh, quick boost. Well, one, I wanted to just boost, like, how did your webinar go?
Oh, it's tomorrow.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you guys will listen to it the day after, but the replay will be available the day after. So send me an email at info@mandymoney.com if you want the replay. Yeah. So the webinar is going to be available for 48 hours. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday morning, I mean, shoot me an email, see if you can't get the replay. Hopefully y'all register. But yeah, we've got about 500 registered already.
That's awesome.
Not bad for just planning that last Tuesday.
Yeah. That's amazing. Okay. That's awesome. Yay. So that's a boost for Mandy's webinar. She's going to be getting your life together, especially during these times where it's feeling really crazy. My other boost, just really, just a quick boost that tomorrow's my 5th wedding anniversary. It's one of the reasons why I decided to come here because I'm like, I need a USA. I know. So I was like, you know what? Let me come to the someplace beautiful. I couldn't help but giggle because as I took my hike and stuff, I was like, this is literally the antithesis of what Drew would be willing to do. He'd be like, I'm not doing all that damn walking.
I was going to say, I don't think I've seen a picture of y'all in nature before. I know. Together.
He's not. I know. Nature would have not been his thing. So I was laughing because I was just like, you know, this is how I'm spending my anniversary, which is the opposite of what Drew would have wanted to do. Although he did like flowers and things like that. But taking a 2-mile hike around a lake, he'd be like, wait, what? But yeah, it would have been 5 years. I think people think that like I just met Jarrell, but no, we met when I was 23. We started dating when I was 30. Me and Jarrell like the same. I'm a few months older. Started dating when I was 30. Broke up because I was like, I'm dating the budgetista. She's kind of like a really big deal. I had started budgetista when I was 30, and I had to make a decision. I was like, I choose her. So, I know. But then we started dating again when I was 34. When I realized, the budgetista is cute, but I really don't swing that way. So started dating again when I was 34, got married, engaged at 36, married at 37. And as y'all know, he, you know, passed away when I was 42. Yeah, I just, I don't know. You just never know how life is going to swing. So despite all that's happening and how terrible things seem, if you have someone, your kids, your sister, your mom, your dad, your partner, to love up on and hug up on, now more than ever, make that your priority, because truly there is nothing more important. And the world is going to, well, you never know. But as far as we know, the world's going to keep turning and there's always going to be good, bad, and indifferent. And you can't control all of those things. Certainly you can do your part, but the place where you have the most influence is really inside yourself, but also too inside the little family that you've built for yourself. So, you know, love on your people today. And so, yeah. Happy anniversary, babe.
Happy 5th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Aww. And thinking about you, Jarrell, always. I gasped when you told me, because you know what other day is the same day as your anniversary is Hasbe's birthday.
Oh, that's same right.
Day. Same that's day. Right. And there was a point last week when I knew it was today, tomorrow. There was a point last week when I knew your anniversary was coming up, and I also knew it was Hasbe's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And in between that point and now, I've forgotten. it's been a lot going on. And I'm like, shit, what did I get him? But you're right. I will take some time. I there's been like so much going on. And then it was Father's Day and then COVID. But he deserves a nice birthday. And he's here. And so I will make him do something he doesn't want to do either.
That's what birthdays are for, to get what you want for the person to have, because that's what you want.
Yeah. Did I tell you what I got him for Father's Day?
No, what'd you get him?
So we have been like trying to, we're just so different. And I think it was really cute when we were dating, and as adult humans now, like 10 years later and all this kind of stuff, we're just, our interests are so different. You know, I'm over here in my butterfly garden obsessing over, by the way, two butterflies hatched today. So exciting. And he's washing the car. And I'm like, why are you washing that damn car? But to him, it's not a washing. It's like, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like art. It literally is an art form. Anyway, so he's very into cars. So we started watching Formula One, this Formula One documentary on Netflix. What's it called? Something punny, like Drive to Survive or something like that. So in New York City, they have the E-Prix, which is the electric car version of Formula One. Oh. So I will be sitting in the stands in July at the E-Prix with Husbay, because that's the good wifey that I
am. He's going to love that.
He was so excited. Yeah, he's really excited. Oh. It should be good, but yeah. But anyway, sorry to hijack your boost.
No. So what about your boost? What's your boost or a break?
Oh, you're going to like my boost. I was thinking about you, actually, because with my boost, I need some advice. My boost is for daycare teachers. And especially my son's daycare teachers, especially one in particular whose name is Shelley, and she's amazing. And, you know, the other day when he had to go back to daycare finally after 10 days being out with COVID and quarantine and all that, it was a rough transition, like taking kids out of their routine and then trying to get them back to go to school. And now he's really talking a lot more, so he can tell me, mommy, no school. And it's very heartbreaking, but he was just so upset about it. And Shelly came outside. And when I got to the door to drop him off, I knew he was already crying. And I was like, I told the woman who greeted me, I was like, can you go get Shelly? I know she's busy with breakfast, but just tell Shelly to come. And she came out there. And she helped him find there's like these rock beds that they have, like with rocks by the plants. And she was like, you know what, Rio, let's go pick up. He loves rocks. I don't know why, but he loves them. She's like, should we go find a rock to go feed Rocky, which is their pet fish? I forgot he had a classroom fish. And immediately he was like, huh? And he went and got his rock. And then he was all excited about going to give the rock to Fishy, to Rocky the fish, and put it in his fish tank or whatever. And anyway, and it was also, he's switching to a new classroom. So I want to show Shelly and his daycare teachers my appreciation. They're just like phenomenal. And at times like this, when it's scary to send a kid anywhere these days, the reason I continue sending him is because I'm like, he's with these women and they're incredible. And men too. There's men there too. But I'm trying to think, after I finish recording, Tiff, I got to go get Shelly a gift. I've done like Amazon gift cards in the past, but any advice on what to get your favorite daycare teacher?
If you're teaching daycare, you're probably super sentimental, because why else are you there? I know I was. So something
she's so sentimental.
So like, you know, something that like he draws, you know, or like maybe he paints a rock or whatever for her. Mm-hmm. That's always really sweet, because I would keep that. I would still have that forever and ever and ever. But then also, girl, nobody says no to Uber Eats at the same time. So it's like an Uber Eats gift card, but then also something sentimental like that. Like, that's what I would have loved. Like, I mean, honestly, yeah, anything that kids made me, I'd be like, I'm going to keep this forever. So.
Oh, you think, I would never have thought about that, because I'm like, they do arts and crafts with the kids all the time. Aren't they sick of that by now? But maybe, I don't know.
No, something especially like the other day, like my niece Amelia, she's really into like drawing unicorns and rainbows right now. It was this amazing picture. I was like, is this for me? She's like, no. On the back it says, Miss Rosa, I love you so much. I was like, I've never heard you tell me you love Auntie Tiffany. She looked at me like, girl, please. So, and I know Miss Rosa is going to love that, because it's just like, oh my gosh, you know, like, because according to my sister Carol, Alexa is raising the kids. Because like Amelia be like, Alexa, how do you spell so? Okay. How do you spell much? I'm telling you, she's like, I never thought about
that.
She's
so like,
girl.
Cute.
She's like, this girl's writing up letters. I don't have to tell her anything. She'd be like, mommy, why is this guy blue? She's like, sis, I don't know. Ask Alexa.
Oh, my goodness. That's so true.
So, yeah, I would say something personal, but then also something practical.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, so I think I was thinking Target would be good, but yes. I'll see what they got. I'm going to get her a gift card, and you're right. I'll wait till tomorrow. I'm going to get Rio to draw her, to color her a nice little picture.
That'll
maybe
be nice.
Give her one of my 12 caterpillars. Y'all, I'm trying to take care of these babies as a responsible butterfly mom, but they are multiplying. I am overwhelmed by the number of caterpillars. If you live in Westchester and you would like some baby caterpillars, just let me know. No, that's great. And just to any teachers out there, this is another thing that she sent me that picture. Oh, she sent me that's why I started talking about him going back to school. When he got to the classroom after they gave Rocky the fish his rock, Shelly took the time to send me a DM on IG because she stalks me. And aww, she sent me a picture of him at the table. And you're not supposed, we get pictures in the app, you know, like through the life, like the little parenting app. Mm-hmm. But for her to like send me a picture she knew I was going to see right away because she knew I was worried about him, I just started to cry. I'm going to start crying again because, like I said, I'm an open wound of emotions lately. But I just think that they're incredible. And she sent him home with this huge, like, they don't just send them home with their artwork anymore at the end of the year because he's switching classrooms. It was like bound with a picture of him on the front, and it said Rio's memories, and they were labeled, and there was a photo of him printed with a little graduation cap. And I was like, Shelly, when do you have the time? And she said her and her husband did it together. And her husband, who's not on the payroll, like they went home after a long day with all those kids. These people are special. Like after a day with all these children, she went home and still worked on this project for us. And I just, it's amazing. So if you haven't sent, you know, your daycare teacher or just any teachers in general, you know, a little thank you appreciation gift, you don't have to wait for Teacher Appreciation Week, which I think was back in May, just anytime.
I'm telling you, we really appreciate it because honestly, I loved your babies. I fight moms over kids. I'm like, that's my baby too. Girl, we raising this baby together for real. Like, honestly, especially the younger they are, you really love them. I used to pray for all my kids every single night. I would worry about the ones, you know, that like maybe weren't well, or maybe they had a household that was a little chaotic. I mean, there's still kids to this day I think about and wonder if they're okay and say a little prayer for them. So like, yeah, like I know that people have so much to say about teachers, but the good ones really do love your kids. And you know, like there's nothing, I would literally stand in front of a bullet for your baby. You know, like I have definitely almost tussled homeless men.
In real time.
Yes. I'm just like, yeah, because you really do. You really love these kids and the kids love you right back. And it's what makes it all. Honestly, it's like no matter, you know, a parent could have just finished cussing and fussing me out. And I'd be like, you lucky I love your baby because girl, we could meet at 3:00. No, but honestly, no, that's awesome. I know. And shout out to you, Shelly, because I know like it's a hard job, but like the hugs and the kisses and the I love you, Miss Tiffany's and that it just makes everything just worth it. And parents that appreciate make it all worth it.
Thank you, Miss Shelly and all teachers. Oh, goodness. Yeah. My eyes are leaking. Well,
hopefully to be stop taking leaking. You on an emotional roller coaster. Yes. So I hope you enjoyed this episode because certainly although it was emotional, I hope it also left you with some hope as well. You know, despite all that's going on, there's still
always
a lot of good
hope.
Yes. There's still a lot of good. So we love y'all.
Love you, Tiff. I'm glad you're having some quiet time in nature. Yeah. And we love you, Jarrell. And we're thinking of you. And tomorrow I'll be thinking of him too while I scramble to find something for Enrique.
to give us back. All right, y'all. Until next show.
Until next week. Hey, BA fam. We could not do this show without your support or the support of our team behind the scenes. The Brown Ambition podcast is produced by Cumulus Podcast Network. It's edited by the wonderful Imani Crosby and produced by Tanya Bustos. Dennis Stemplinski is our in-house tech guru, and I am Mandy Woodruff Santos, your co-host, and I will see y'all next week.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.